the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, under Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you be with us this morning. Father, I pray that you just calm my nerves, Lord, settle my tongue, that, Lord, your word may be preached without distraction. Lord, help us to fully comprehend what it is you'd have for us this morning. For its name in Jesus we pray. Amen. This seems kind of like an out-of-place story here. I mean, here we are, we're cutting wood, the axe head falls off and goes into the water, and then boom, verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel. And we go from a simple problem, like the axe head fell off my axe, to now we're at war. And of course, there's not much that connects those two other than the fact that they share the same chapter. And of course, we know that when these things were written, chapters and such were not assigned to them from the beginning. It is what was put there for our ability to study and to understand. We did that, not God. But when we're looking at this, we see what an odd little thing there. You know, there you have these sons of the prophets. They're dwelling there, and they say, "Hey, listen, it's getting a little cramped in here. You know, that'll happen. You know, get a little cramped. So let's go down and let's chop down wood and let's build us a bigger place." And of course, that's a regular everyday occurrence, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, things get too small and you got to build up. You got to kind of get something different. We were down in Flat Rock and we were driving by, not Flat Rock, we were in Southgate where our old house used to be. And we decided we'd drive by the old house. And the kids, as we were driving by, oh, we missed that. And I've sat there, I go, kids, you know, if we were to get out and you were to play in that yard, you'd miss our big yard. If you were to go to your room that you had up there, you'd miss the rooms you have now. Everything there was smaller. And that reminded me when we first got married, we lived in an apartment. But when we started having kids, we lived in a duplex. We lived in the upper part of a duplex. We lived in the top part. My brother and sister-in-law, they lived in the bottom part. And then Tim and Kaylee Cavanaugh lived down there as well at one point or another. And the kids used to miss that when we went from there to the Southgate house. And I was kind of thinking, I go, man, if I could take these kids back to that first small house, I wonder how it would feel to us. To us, it was ours. For the first time getting into it, we were happy for it. We were excited about it. We never had a backyard before. But as we kept adding people, we needed more room. That's an everyday thing, isn't it? Just going back. Well, you know, after so-and-so was born, we went ahead and we put an addition on the house, and we had to split these two rooms here, and I moved over here, and the wife and I went over there, and we made room for them. Everyday thing. You ever work with a tool and have it break on you? That's a bummer. That's an everyday thing, though, isn't it? Oh, my axe broke. The head came off my axe. That'll happen. I mean, those axe heads, they'll last forever. But those sticks, especially if you get those plastic ones. Oh, I hate those plastic ones. Every now and then you miss and you'll hit it on the log or something, bend it. You know, it's all white where it was. Just terrible, terrible stuff nowadays. But those axe heads, they'll last forever. I've seen people take the axe heads off of the plastic or whatever it is that's there, or the cheap wood that they'll get. They'll make their own handles for it and put it onto there. Those axe heads, they'll last forever, but things break. Wood breaks, plastic breaks. These things, they break. This is everyday stuff. And there is Elisha being brought along. Hey, listen, we're going to go build us a new house. Will you come with us? And he goes, okay. And they go and they start doing the work and somebody's axe head falls off. And you know what? As mundane and everyday as that is, there's very large spiritual connotations. Listen, if you're chopping wood and your axe head falls off and goes into the water, you absolutely can pray and ask God to help you go find it. And you know what? He might help you find it. He'll probably help you find it. If you're working with something and it's not going right and you ask God to bless it, you'll bless it. But there's another spiritual connotation I see here. Sometimes we lose our cutting edge, don't we? There's nothing wrong with anything they were doing. They didn't make any mistakes here. There's nothing wrong with chopping wood. There's nothing wrong with building better. There's nothing wrong with making an attempt to do better with what you have. These are all good things. As a matter of fact, it's part of God's blessings. As you handle the things He's given you well, He gives you more, and you got to handle that good too. And you expand a little, and you build a little, and sometimes you get to build big, and that's all part of God's plan for your life. They weren't doing anything wrong. As a matter of fact, they were doing good things. It's not good to pile that many people on top of each other. They start to not like each other after a while. Went over to that graduation party, and I left everybody behind. Oh, my family was so upset. I'm beginning to come to the conclusion that people don't like me. They like my wife and my kids. I am just a delivery service, right? I'm like celery. I'm just there to get the ranch to the people. You know what I mean? That's what I'm for. I'm there to get the good parts. Yeah, I'm going to get the family, the kids. Oh, man, where's the kids? My mother. Where's my grandbabies? Hi, Mom. Drove 2 hours to see you. You know? Then there was my dad. Where's the kids? My aunt. Go back and get your family. I drove 2 hours. We'll be here. Oh, man. You know, it's just, you're doing the right things. And again, you're just everyday stuff that you're doing. And there's expectations, and there's things like that. And you know what? Sometimes you end up getting a little broken inside. Not that that broke me, but sometimes when you're doing the right thing, you get exhausted. You know what I mean? Going back to that illustration where we were talking about being too much on top of each other, there was a specific reason why I left my family at home. My little daughter just punched one of my sons that morning. Everybody been fighting and arguing all week. And I figured a 4-hour round trip in the car was probably not going to do well for our family's health. You know? And I said, you know what? I'll just get this done. Get it back. It'll be fine. You bet too many people on top of each other. It gets rough. It does. I was talking to my cousin. My cousin has 5 kids. And we were just kind of laughing and joking back and forth and just having a good old time. But at the same time, there's things that happen. He's got five kids. It's him and his wife. They live in an apartment. And he just talks about the things that they get up to. And everybody's, sometimes when parents get to talking about stuff their kids get up to, people think we're complaining. But half the time, I'm amazed at the stuff they would do. He's got a daughter, 4 or 5 years old, just figured out how to get out of the house and has no problem getting out of the house. And just, you know, oh, no, that's terrible. Well, yeah, that's why we put the things we do, the things we do. But we got to talk about it happening because if not, we'll go crazy. So he starts telling his story. I start telling my stories. We're laughing, just kind of encouraging each other. It's hard when you get a lot of people stacked up. So they were doing a good thing. Let's spread out. That's one thing when it's you and your family and your kids. But when it's just you and a bunch of other people's kids, man, it ain't so good. Spread out. Was it wrong to chop down trees? No. If you've got a problem, it's good to put a little sweat into fixing that problem, isn't it? We're losing that as a society. We're losing that in this world. Where if you've got a problem, you put a little sweat to it instead of blaming everyone and everything and wondering how you can get it for free. You put a little sweat into that problem. It is possible for us to be doing everything right and lose our edge. As a matter of fact, I have found that's exactly how you lose your edge the best. Why do you have to keep resharpening your axe? Because as you're using it, what happens? It dulls. The blade dulls. So what do? You sharpen it again. And you sharpen it again, you sharpen it again. Your body acts very much like a tool. It needs rest, it needs sharpening, it needs honing. It needs proper maintenance and care. And if you slip on taking care of yourself, what happens? It breaks. Either your mind or your body, something's going to go. And I think a lot of people, they get into these depressive states. They get into these times where they're just wore out and they're beat down. And what they need is to be resharpened. Or if you're like this poor guy with his axe, it's come plumb off. And I hope not a one of you understands what that feels like. To feel just completely ineffective in everything you do. I mean, you think about that. If you just had the handle of an axe, you could swing around those woods all day, couldn't you? You could wear yourself out. You could work just as hard as anybody else. But what happens? Nothing gets done. Nothing. You could get sweat to the brow. You could work all day, but nothing will happen because all you're doing is knocking an old piece of wood against a tree. It's not going to do any good. When we refuse to maintain ourselves in a spiritual way, we can end up damaging ourselves. And all of a sudden, there we are, not just not reading our Bibles, but not even thinking about it. And not just not praying, but not even caring to, not even desiring to, not even thinking that it's something that you should have done today. You just let days and days and days go by. You lost your edge. You're meeting people and they're coming to you and they're saying, oh, pray for me. I lost my husband 2 years ago and then I lost my job and then I got into a car wreck and all these things have happened. And you sit there and you go, oh, that's so sad. And you don't think to pray with them. You don't think to encourage them. You don't give them your number and say, hey, let's talk. I want to keep tabs on you. What can I do for you? Let's you and me go out and get a cup of coffee. Why don't you come to church with me? I tell you what, let's go. We'll go talk to my pastor. We'll pray together. We don't think about that. Why? Because the axe head fell off. What made us sharp, what made us good, what made us profitable, what made us productive, we've lost it. And what a bummer that is. What is an axe without the axe head? It's a stick. It is no longer part of the solution. It's just another piece of wood you can't break. And we end up like that. You know how it feels? It feels terrible. It feels terrible. And you know what so often aids and persists in us losing our axe head? Sin. Now many of you, if you've ever had an axe head break off the axe, you knew it was going to happen. How did you know it was going to happen? Because that bad boy started to get loose, didn't it? You're sitting there going, wobble, wobble, wobble. Ooh, that's about to break. You hit one time, you hear crack. And you look at, oh, that's got a crack down it. Now, if you're like my family, you whip out some of that handyman's best friend, you duct tape that around. I knew a guy one time, the thing had snapped clean in half. And he duct taped it back together. And he goes, I keep breaking my axe. I go, sir, you don't keep breaking it. It is still broken and you're praying that it would work. It is more broken than it is working. Just stop it. I will go cut you down a branch or something, replace that with, but it is not working. When sin enters into our lives, we begin to get loose with our decision making. We crack and our cutting edge gets loose. Not just dull, but loose. As we forfeit our Christian maintenance, those things that keep us spiritually fit, we crack and we get loose. As we begin to work and serve and work and serve, we lose the edge on the blade. Got to sharpen. But there's no sharpening without service. There's no sharpening without prayer. There's no sharpening without reading the Bible. There's no sharpening without preaching. You need the Word of God to sharpen you. And oftentimes, as the Bible says, that steel on steel, you need brother sharpening brother, strengthening brother. You need someone to preach at you, someone to teach to you, someone to encourage you, someone to mentor you. Now, I've got people in my life that could do any one of those things. I've got people that'll tell me when I'm wrong, and they'll tell me with authority. I've got people in my life that'll come to me as a friend and say, "Hey, brother, how you doing? What can I pray for you today?" And we'll share our cares and we'll share our concerns, and we both walk away having gone to the Lord together so much sharper than when we first started the phone call or started the sitting down and drinking coffee, whatever it is that we're doing. We come back so much sharper. We need sharpening. We need to be mindful of when the axe head is coming loose. It is our job. It's our business. Ought to be our heart's desire to be a part of the solution, God's solution in this world. But we cannot do so if we've lost our cutting edge. If we have lost our ability to slice through what God is slicing through, we must keep ourselves protected. And what are we without our cutting edge? We're just a waste of time and effort, aren't we? We're just a waste of energy. And we hate feeling that way. But I tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've ground away at something not realizing I've lost my sharpness. I've lost that energy. I've lost that desire. I've lost that fervency. Or I've seen my mind slowly stop being able to do what it could do. Why? Because you've lost your edge. Now, sometimes that'll happen due to a course of time. It'll happen because of age. Most of the time, most of the time, it happens because we have failed to keep ourselves sharp. That's why. We have failed to keep ourselves sharp. We don't go to God. We don't contemplate the verses. We don't pray. We don't study. We don't have access to Christian knowledge the way that we used to because we failed to keep it sharp. You ever study something and you go, "Oh, I knew that. Haven't thought about it in a while." Those little reminders. That's why we go over things and go over things and go over things. There was a pastor who got up behind his pulpit one Sunday and he preached a message on bitterness. And the next Sunday he got up and he preached a message on bitterness. And the Sunday after that, he got up and he preached a message on bitterness. Finally, one of the ladies in the church came up to him. "Why do you keep preaching on bitterness every Sunday? Don't you want to move on?" He goes, "Well, as soon as y'all get it, I'll move on." That's the way it feels. You know, it's, you hear the same things over and over and over. "Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that." Man, why are they up there saying that over and over and over again? I'll tell you why. Because people are doing it. You know, we were checking into a hotel, I think it was this year, at a conference. Checking into a hotel, and she was going down through all the rules. And I can't remember what rule it was that struck Xander. And he goes, "That's weird." And I took him aside and I told him, I said, "Buddy, for every weird rule was somebody who did something awful." I go, "Do yourself a favor. Never be the reason why somebody has to create a weird rule." You know what I mean? There was a sign at the first sub shop, my first job, the sub shop that I worked at. There was a sign back in the clocking area. "No, do not inflate gloves with air and use as balloons." And that hurt my feelings. Because when we were dead, that's exactly what we would do. I just remember saying, "Oh, I did that." And I didn't say anything. I just figured somebody had watched the cameras and seen us playing volleyball with the balloons going back and forth. Everything was spit polished and cleaned and shiny. We'd go hours in that shop without making any customers. It was a very slow business. And we would just pop, pop. We'd clean everything up, pop, pop, pop. We could probably clean up the entire store and shut her down in about 10 minutes. Everything would be sparkly, clean, and perfect. We didn't have a lot to do. But I sat there. Just looking at that, going, "Oh, they know. They know." we need to be we need to be wise as to why we're hearing things over and over again. We need to be wise as to the things that we're told to do. Why is it that that keeps happening? Because we, through our disobedience, have become wasteful. We waste our opportunities. We waste our strength, and we waste nothing more than we waste our time. Oh, wasted time is a terrible thing, especially when you don't think, when you have to think about how little time you actually have left. Not just to live, but how long, much longer do you have to get it right? You know, I think about this. How long will we be able to meet the way that we are meeting? You know, right now it's wonderful. You know, the tithes come in. We keep the lights on. We keep the building going. Everything seems fine. I sometimes wonder, how long will we be able to keep that going? And sometimes I wonder, hey, how long will I have to teach these kids before they become set in their ways, to give them the tools that they need so that I'm not sitting there looking at them when they're 30 and they say, hey, Dad, how do you do that? And I go, how do I let them out of the house without teaching them how to do that? You know what I mean? I give them everything they need. How much time? Oh, we don't have a lot of time to do much. Let us not be wasteful by allowing our sharp edge to be removed. We can wear ourselves out without a sharp edge. Wear ourselves out. We are hacking and beating and slapping at a tree trunk. And there's no blade on that axe. It's just dull metal. And you're cutting it little by little, piece by piece. But ultimately, it's taking forever. It's taking your energy and strength. And it's just rough. Imagine sitting there and you've got this dull blade and you're cutting out a piece of firewood and cutting out a piece of firewood and it won't break. And along comes somebody with a chainsaw and just zip, 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 zip. That's how it feels sometimes. You got to do the maintenance on yourself. You got to do the spiritual maintenance. Because everybody knows what it's like to have to try to deal with a dull tool. And I don't want to have dull tools. I want my mind to be sharp. I want wisdom when I need it. I want the ability to take care of the things I need to take care of. We see also here there's an added little sorrow to this problem. Verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. For it was borrowed. It wasn't even his to lose. And we know this. You've got air in your lungs because God gave it to you. We heard that this morning. You got the ability that you have. You've got the strength that you have because God gave it to you. What you have is borrowed. And it ought to make us grateful. It ought to make us grateful. But at the same time, there's a certain anguish that comes when you ruin something that's not yours to ruin. You know what I mean? If I get into a car wreck with my car, that's a bummer. If I get into a car wreck with your car, I'm really upset. If I, you know, if we take a bunch of the kids down to Cedar Point and I lose one of my kids, that's devastating. I go down to the Cedar Point and I lose one of your kids, and that's an added devastation. You following me? It wasn't his to lose. We ought to be sharp because the Lord gives us everything we need. We ought to be sharp because it's not ours. Right? My father taught me, you borrow someone's car, you return it clean, you return it with a full tank of gas. That's the way it ought to be. You ought to take care of the things that don't belong to you. You ought to be good stewards of things that were given to you. To lose your mind, to lose your faith, to lose your zeal, when all these things are borrowed, all those things are given to you by God to care for, what a bummer. What a difficult position to find yourself in. We must remember that what we have belongs to God. That what He has given us is a blessing. It's wonderful. But it all goes back to Him. Therefore, we must take care of what it is that we have. So what do we do then? All right, so here I am. Maybe you are here this morning. You say, I have lost my axe head. And maybe you're sitting here and you're going, well, I haven't lost it, but it sure is getting wiggly. Or you know what? It's dull. I've got some problem with my cutting edge. My faith isn't as strong as it should be. My service to the Lord isn't what it ought to be. My desire for God, my practices aren't as good as they should be. So what do I do? Well, you got to get it back. Now, the problem that beset this young prophet's son is that the Jordan River is a dirty river. It is difficult to find things in there. It's one of those rivers where once it goes in there, you're going to have a hard time finding it. You got to use your toes. Anybody here, you want to use your toes to go find an axe head? That doesn't sound like a good time to me. Hey, listen, I lost my knife down there in the river. It's wide open. Can you reach down there, start digging around for it? Mm-mm, no thank you. So what then do we do? We got to get it back somehow. And he went to the one person he knew that he could ask for help. He went to Elisha. God has given us tools to get to him. God has given us resources to get to him. Adam got to walk with God in the cool of the day. We messed that up. So now there's a bit of a barrier between us. God's not coming. God's not going to come in physical presence to stand next to you, but there's ways to get to him, and he's not made them difficult to come by. He's made them readily available, as easy as it is to send a message. Man, remember back when it used to be difficult. Remember back when you'd call your friend, and you'd have to just hope that they'd come in later. There was no caller ID, there was no voicemail. You just called. Oh, they're not home. I'll call again later. Oh, and then you got the voicemail. Oh, the voicemail was a cool thing, wasn't it? When you could leave a voicemail. And then what did you do? You hoped they would get the voicemail, and then later they would do what? They would call you and hope to not get your voicemail. And then you got caller ID. Oh, so-and-so called at such and such a time, at such and such a number. You could call them back without them leaving a voicemail. I think that's my memory. We had voicemail. My memory was how cool it was when caller ID came out. Those little boxes that you'd get on top of your phone, you could see who it was. We thought we were really living fancy one day when somebody called and it came across the television set. That's when you were really high on the hog. Nowadays, you could send a message to somebody. Nowadays, you could call somebody, and if they don't call you back in 10 minutes, what do? Oh, I hope they're okay. Used to be it'd take a week for him to get back to you. Now you send him a message, you send him a phone call, and I think that's my excuse for why it takes so long to get back to people on their text messages. You know, I'm just old fashioned. You know, don't believe that. We expect immediacy to reach out to you. It is that easy to get to God. It is easy to get to God as it is for us to get a hold of anybody else, if not easier. Because I don't have to pick up my phone to get to the Lord. I just got to talk. There's prayer that he's given us to talk to him. There's this book that he has given us for him to talk to us. There's people like me in your life who are here to give you advice and tell you what the Lord would have you to do. And sometimes, man, I've got that answer right there. Sometimes it takes me a minute. And I hope you can be patient with me in those times where that happens. Some of you get to asking good questions. And it takes me almost a full afternoon to come to the answer. And I'm glad for the time. Glad for the ability to do that. But there's people like me here to, hey, I want you to consider this. Consider that. To point out things. To read scripture with, to pray with, to give you godly counsel. It's a big thing I ask for you to trust me. I understand. And it's a weird thing, given some of you are at an age you're at, and you look at me and I'm at the age that I'm at. It's neither one of our faults. But we must trust in the Word. And that is what it is. It's not my age. It's not my brain. It's not me. But simply the ability to reach into the Word of God and apply the needed advice to the problems is necessary. What we need to do is we need to take the instruments of God that he has given us. and we need to use them to get back to Him. Well, what do you mean get back to Him? Exactly what I mean. If you're in a position where you're not as sharp as you should be, if you're in a position where the axe head's completely off, you're not where you should be. Because you know what God does? He gives us wisdom as much as we need. He gives us His strength to do whatever it is that He's required of us. He cares for us. He watches over us. He calms us. He comforts us. He heals us. He does all these things. So when this isn't quite connected to God the way that it should be, there's a gap there and I need to fix it. I need to go back to God. You could be sitting in a church. You could have perfect attendance. You could read. You could study. You could do all the things and still not be connected to God the way you should be. Where He becomes a far-off idea. He becomes the one that gives you the means to feel the good feelings, and that's all He is. He's a place to go on a Sunday morning. He is a place to, He's a theme to decorate your house by. He is something that colors your language, but He is no longer your Father. He is no longer one that you love. He's just there. We need to fall in love with God again. We need to return to Him as the source of our strength. And again, sometimes we're just dull. Sometimes the axe head hasn't fallen off. We're just a little loose. And my friends, that's when we need to figure it out. Lord, there are things about me that are breaking. Lord, there are things about me that aren't working the way that they should. And Father, I must return to You. Fix what is broken. Remove what shouldn't be there so that I can be sharp, so that I can be useful, so that I can be whole again. When we find ourselves out of sorts, we must acknowledge that only God can put us back right again. And through repenting of our sins, and through picking up the good spiritual maintenance that we ought to have, there we get our edge back. As we see here, I don't know why Elisha threw a stick in the water. I don't know why that was necessary. There's a lot of miracles that God does. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me sometimes. Why'd they have to walk around the walls of Jericho? And did God just cause them to topple? Or did He push them? Did angels kick them over? What happened there? You know, why did God part the water instead of just letting them walk across the water? Why is it that when Jesus was healing one person, He created mud with His spit and wiped that on them, and the other people He just said, be good, and they were good? Where one person was close to death and from a distance, He said, be well. Why did He do that when everybody else He had to touch? And why did He touch some when He could have healed them from a distance? I don't understand why God does the things He does. I don't think I ever will. It's just part of who He is. But Elisha threw a stick on the water, and up floated this piece of iron. I heard somebody say one time, well, you see, it wasn't a miracle. It's a translational error where he's kicking around the water with the stick, and it caused the stick to float up in the water. Iron don't work that way. I don't know if you've ever thrown some iron into some water. I don't know how much free time you have to do such things, but that's not the way that works. He threw the stick out in the water. The thing came right on back up. All right, put your hand out there and get it. Put your hand out there and get it. I thought that was a very poignant thing to say. Put your hand out there and get it. You know, folks, I come up here, I hammer on this pulpit. I do that 3 times a week. We have devotion times. Y'all have your daily devotions. We all do things, right, to try to stay spiritually good and to be the best Christian we possibly can. But a lot of times we're presented with the opportunity for salvation, the opportunity for repentance, the opportunity to become better at the things that we're doing right. We're presented with all these opportunities, and so often we don't take them. We don't take them. We sit there, we go, that's a good one. That was a good message. And we go home and we never apply it. You'll sit there in the afternoon talking to your best friend. Had some good Bible reading this morning. It was a really good spiritual time this morning. Oh yeah? What'd you learn? Well, I learned this and that, and I really ought to start doing that. All right, well, what are you going to do to start doing that? I don't know. We'll see. Reach your hand out there and take it. That's our biggest thing. We want our problems to be not our fault, and we want our problems to be not our fault so much that when the solution appears, we don't take it. Because then there's something I could have done about it all along. Listen, there's going to be some things that happen to you that aren't your choice. There's going to be some things that happen to you that are your choice. Either way, when the solution presents itself, don't get philosophical. Take it. Does that make sense? Oh, gee, could I have been a better Christian? Could I have studied more? Could I have behaved better? Could I have stuck to it when I wanted to quit? Yeah, but you know what? If I do this now, what are people going to say? They're going to say amen. That's what's going to happen. Why would you jeopardize your spiritual health? Why would you jeopardize your strength? Why would you jeopardize the rest of your life so that you can make so that other people wouldn't think something bad about you? So other people wouldn't think you make a mistake? Your relationship with God is worth more than that. You mend that relationship with God, God will take care of the other people. And if they're still nasty, they just told you who they are, be grateful. If me serving the Lord bothers you, that's all I need to know about our relationship. If me repenting of something, I talked to a lady one time, very active in her church, very active in the homeschool and active in camp and just different things. She was very active. Came to the point in her life where she realized that she was never saved. And she was hesitant to tell people that the Lord had saved her because she was afraid that people would judge her for putting on the act and thinking that she was saved. And when she told me, she goes, I know. I go, no, I don't think you do know. I'm excited for you. Well, there was all that time. Well, there was all that time where God was getting you ready to do the things you can do now. Don't you understand? He was pre-priming the pump. He was getting you ready. And now you're saved. And it's time to go. And you know what she did? She was every bit the person she was before as she was after. Every bit. She didn't slow down. I'd like to say she did more, but I'm going to be honest with you. There's only 24 hours in the day, and she was filling them. Let us rejoice. Never jeopardize. Never run the risk of hurting your relationship with God because you're afraid of what people will say. And we're no more afraid of anybody than we are the very people in church. No, I promise you. I struggled with this and the Lord showed me something different and I repented and I got right. But I wonder what that old church is going to say. We're going to say amen. And I pray this, if you're here and you can't see a sinner come to repentance, you can't see somebody who has served the Lord for decades come right about something, and you can't rejoice about that, I pray you get down before your knees in front of God. And you get that right. Because that's how God reacts to such things. It says, all of heaven rejoices when a sinner gets right. We need to go back to God. We need to get our edge back. Because that's where we got it in the first place. We need to go back to who we borrowed it from. We need to go back to who we borrowed it from. Lord, it's me and I'm just not getting it. I'm working hard. Things aren't going the way they always have. I can't think of, and again, in this illustration, that young man did nothing wrong. Lord, I've been swinging for a while, and I'm hurt. Swinging for a while, and there's a dullness to me. Things aren't quite going the way that they should. I tell you what, there's times I'll walk around, and I'll see stuff. I was walking around as I was coming up, and I saw the box of t-shirts down there. Oh, leave the box of t-shirts down there. I'll see stuff like that, and I'll go, uh-oh. you used to walk this church every Sunday morning. Make sure stuff like that didn't happen. All right, let's get down to the schedule. What's going on? And then sometimes those things start to pile on you. They start to pile on you. I've told you before, I've worked with people in the apartment industry over hoarding, and it is a very sad thing. Because what happens is it starts off in their mind something small. Typically, it's triggered by some kind of trauma in their lives, but it starts off small. There was a guy, he lost his wife of decades. And what's he do? He just starts bringing stuff in. Now, before, when it was him and his wife living there, it was pristine. He had one of the best houses. They had one of the best houses in the entire apartment community. He was one of those people where if I thought it would be politically correct enough for them to teach classes on how to maintain an apartment, I'd have had him teach. But what happened is things slowly changed. And the worse it got in the house, the worse it got up here, and the worse it got up here, the worse it got in the house. It is a terrible, terrible illness. It's really terrible. Things stack up on us. And before we know it, we've gotten ourselves into a spiritual and mental condition to where we feel boxed in by the problems our decisions have caused. And though we did nothing wrong, things just happened. Things turn into a mess. What we need to do is we need to go back to who first gave us the sharpness. Lord, I repent of all this junk in my life. Lord, I repent of the decisions that I have made. Lord, that I've allowed myself to get so weak, running myself ragged or putting effort into things that don't need to put effort into. Lord, please just help me. Whatever it is that has separated you and God, you go back and you get that sharpness. Now, when he got his axe head back, what do you think he did? Do you think he sat there and wrapped that axe head back up and put it over here? We're not taking any more risks with that. I don't think he did that. The Bible doesn't say we hear about immediately going to war, but I don't think that's what they did. You know what I think he did? I think he fixed the axe. And I think he went back to work. Because after all, who goes out to... I said, every man his beam is what they said. Every man's going to go out, we're going to get a beam. You know what I think? I think he went out and he got his beam. I think he got that axe back on there, got that axe head back onto the handle, got everything fixed up again. I think he went back to work. And you know what? When you get your sharpness back, when you get your cutting edge back, you get back to work. And you do the things you ought to do. Because I'll tell you what, I would rather have to replace a handle. I would rather have to duct tape some splintered wood than I would to sit there and allow myself to get rusty with all that God has to give me, to allow myself just to sit there. I mean, why do you make an axe head to begin with? To chop wood, right? You don't have an axe head so you can have an axe head. You have an axe head so you can throw that bad boy on a handle and you go to work. You get your sharpness back, chop, chop. Chop, chop. But we must remember to take care of ourselves. We must remember our spiritual needs as well as our physical and our mental ones. That guy had some splintered wood. Guaranteed, that axe head was getting loose and he could feel it and he knew it and what he'd do. Just kept going. So what happens the next time? You know what? Next time I feel an axe head get that loose, I am absolutely going to slow down. I am absolutely going to make sure that everything's good the way that it should before I keep going. I better make sure I'm praying, because if I'm not praying, I'm going to start to get loose. I better make sure that I'm in the Word, seeking God in the Bible, or else I'm going to get loose. I need to make sure that I am going to Him and relying on Him and trusting in His strength and following His example, or else I'm going to get loose. You see, the answer isn't, well, go back and work yourself to death again. No, work yourself better this time. Take care of things more properly. Right? There's only so much that you could possibly do. You know, there's going to be things that your body just can't do. There's going to be things eventually that your mind just can't do. You got to work with what you have, and you got to work it God's way. Understanding this, that even Christ himself took a break. The Son of God took breaks. The Son of God would sit and he would rest. The Son of God would give himself food. The Son of God cared for the needs of others as well as for his own. So we get back to work, but we get back to work in a more godly way. And that could be hard because we remember. I mean, could you imagine the first few whacks that young man took? He probably moved away from the Jordan River, I'll be honest. I ain't doing that over there. And there's that first few times you're hitting, you're super cautious about it. All right, taking it slow, seeing if that axe head's going to come off again. And then what happens? Well, it's going to be fine, so you just go. And that tree comes down and he goes, you know what? When I start to feel things not going right, I'm going to stop. When you start to feel within yourself, man, I'm not praying as long as I normally do. I met 5 people. I didn't invite a single one of them to church. I was in this situation, and I didn't know how to do it, and I didn't stop to pray. I didn't stop to ask God. Or maybe the axe head's completely off, and you're sitting there going, things are not right. Things are not good. And you need the Lord to help get that thing back on. Whatever it is, we need to get that right. How much time do you want to spend out of sorts? Because you know what I've learned? There's not a lot of problems that happen up here that go away on their own. You know what I mean? Now we say heart and mind, it's the same box, right? There's not a lot that goes on there that just goes away. Well, just keep plugging and chugging. No, you need to get down with the Lord and you need to handle some things. In the roughest of your times, you need quiet with the Lord. Oh, you don't get it. We're at war. I got to do this and I got to do that. And if I don't, it's all borrowed. It's all borrowed. Go back to the Lord who gave it to you. You go speak to him. Different kinds of prayer, isn't there? Lord, please bless this food, those who made it. Amen. Lord, I'm going to bed. I ask you to forgive me for the things that I did. I lost my temper. I said this thing that I thought was funny, but turned out to be kind of mean. I'm sorry. So, 2 or 3 people I met, I didn't invite them to church. I didn't give them the gospel. I just heard their problems and said, oh, what a bummer, and moved on. I just pray that you keep my family safe. Let nobody in at the middle of the night. You know, our nighttime prayer. But then there's those ugly prayers. When you're down on your knees and you're doing some real business with God. Those inspections where you're taking God through every facet of your life. Now, Lord, over here, we've got some issues in the family, and I said this, and I ought to do that, and this is what's going on, and so-and-so is sick, and so-and-so over here, they're having issues with their money, and this person needs a job, and oh, Lord, over here, I made a mess of this, and Lord, I'm so worried about that, and Lord, I'm so stressed out about these things over here. Lord, please help me with this, and the tears start to flow, and parts of your body start to shake, and you're really getting some good business done with God. You need that time or your axe head's going to fall off. And once it falls off, that's the only thing going to put it back right again. And the hardest parts of your life, you need some ugly cry time with God. And you need to turn your heart to him, and you need to turn your mind to him and say, Lord, you are my only hope. You're my only answer. I can't remember how many years the Armstrongs were married. And then one day it's over. There ain't no, here's a pill. There ain't no, you know, people think that the preacher's supposed to get up and he's supposed to say the right combination of words. And if he says the right combination of words, everybody goes home and it's like it never happened. There ain't no combination of words make that go away. there's no amount of coffee or tea with friends. There's no amount of getting out into the sunlight that's going to make that all go away. But you know who can heal you and make things work, even though it's going to work without them, and it's going to be a learning curve, and there's going to be a differences, and there'll always be a spot for them in your heart, absolutely, and it's going to hurt a little bit every now and then. But who can get you back on track and get you back to living again? Only God. Only God. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're here today and something's broken, something's dull, something's loose, only God can help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as the musicians come, we bow down before you with humility, knowing, Lord, that you're our only hope. And Father, I ask this, that you help us to always remind it. And Lord, give us courage. The fact that the God of all creation cares about our problems. Anywhere as simple as our tools breaking to our hearts being shattered, Lord, you care. And that humbles us. But Lord, it ought to give us hope. Lord, I pray you give us hope. Give us strength. And Father, where we are broken, I pray you heal us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 163.